Good morning, church. You seem to enjoy this Victorious Days weekend, aren't you? We enjoy this long weekend. And the other day, after office hours, and I just drive down to our Westminster Highway, I just enjoy the view of our church, the way to the north. It's just beautiful. What a blessing we are here. And what a blessing, and it's a privilege to serve here with the people of God and with God's love here. Amen. Praise God. Praise His grace. And this morning, we're going to continue our series with different gifts. And today we're going to talk about Romans 12. At the end of Romans 12, mercy. It's on the first list on this picture. Mercy. To talk about mercy, and before I was preparing this sermon, and I was thinking about mercy, and I ponder and ponder, and I ask myself, do I have mercy? And I say, I do. Okay, you know, quick reaction. A lot of times, just say, I do. Why? Because my mom is a nurse. So that's why I do. I do. And I ask myself second time. You know, Peter say three times. So I ask myself second time. I said, do I have mercy? And I say, I probably don't have that much mercy. And I ask myself third time, and I say, I don't want to ask myself anymore. The more I ask, the more I think I don't have that much mercy than my mom does. So, but when I think about this topic, mercy, this is really good topic. Because mercy and grace always, a lot of time, comes together. But different meaning. Mercy may mean forgiveness. Grace may mean we don't deserve something, but we have it. That's why we have the salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the grace and we have the mercy. That's why before I talk about this, when I ponder, and I knew that we have all the mercy and grace from our Lord. That's love. So the love, we cannot have love without mercy and grace. So I love this topic myself. So I also learning, when I prepare this topic, it's also the learning process for myself, that I know that I need mercy. And I need mercy every day of my life. I need mercy when I face different challenges in my life. I need mercy when I think about what kind of mistakes I have been made in my life. I know the Lord did it all. He has done it all for me and for you as well. So mercy is important. And grace is important in our life. So we also kind of read through Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace. See, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. Okay, I have a problem with that. Show mercy cheerfully. Sometimes, but not other times. Because a lot of times, show mercy is easy. But mercy is not pity. Do you agree? Mercy is not necessary pity. It might involve some pity, pitiful or pitiness, or it might involve pity, but it's not necessary pity. So mercy is loving. Mercy is to see where people is. It's a training. It's a discipline in our mind a lot of time to see people's needs, to see where people is. Okay. So let's see different version of the Bible on verse 8. What is verse 8? It's talking a Message Bible. If you work with disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. That's a good word. He who show mercy in caring for others, not necessary for disadvantaged, with cheerfulness. I like this English word, cheerfulness. You know, when you say this word, you just naturally lift your chins. Cheerfulness, right? An easy to read version, whoever has the gift of showing kindness to others should do it gladly. Living Bible, those who offer comfort to the sorrowing. Come back a little bit, please. Cheerfulness. Thank you. Sorrowing should do so with Christian cheer. Oh, good words. Next, please. Okay, some similar words to mercy. Sympathetic, empathetic, and also compassionate. We all have seen these words very often in our daily talk or Christian talks. We all say sympathetic, empathetic. Maybe empathetic is a little bit less. Okay, what's the meaning? I just checked the dictionary. Feeling sorry for others' pain or hurt. It's part of the feeling. Oh, I feel sorry. You know, I feel sorry that you just experienced something. Sorry about that. Feeling sorry, it is a natural feeling for human beings. And empathetic is more deeper. It's a little bit more deeper. Try to feel what others feel. We don't always do that, do we? We don't always do that. A lot of time we're just thinking about maybe empathetic, opposite of empathetic is might be self-centered or judgmental. Can I say that? Maybe sometimes, right? Everybody has their own of judgment for something that it shouldn't be this way. It should be this way. You know, when I just walk into somebody's office and I always want to correct if the picture is not straight. You know, do you do that? But when I walk into Pastor Jim's office, there's nothing for me to correct because everything is beautiful, straight, and everything is great. It's probably Pastor Jim walked to my office. He has a lot to correct. Anyway, so empathetic means to feel what others feel. And compassionate often involves responding to others' need or pain, just like our friend in Fort McMurray, that just happening just a month also, that you have been responding to people's need. Some of the people, they lose their house. A lot of people lose their house. When I look at the picture the day before yesterday, that it was horrible. Those houses, because I look at the magazine, I look at through the picture, It was horrible. I was just feel sorry and feel really painful with them and for them. So compassionate that you all made action. A lot of you, even though you might not give a donation or offering, at least we pray for them. And our heart is with them. And we feel sorry for what happened to them. We pray that God will comfort them and be with them and really bring peace to their heart and restore their family. That's why we are compassionate for people's needs and where they are. We feel where they are. In 1 Peter 3, 8, and we read, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Okay. This brings my first point, be in others' shoes. And this gentleman, he seems to be not cheerful when he is in others' shoes. Why? Because we all do that. We don't like other people's shoes because it might smell differently than ours, right? So being in others' shoes, it's a discipline. It's a training in our mind, right? Because we all think that we all have family chores to be busy with. We all have our own things to think about, to solve our own problems. Every day, every hour, every minute, we're thinking about our own daughter and our own sons. How do I have time to think about other sons, other people? No time. But being others' shoes is truly a discipline. It's truly a training. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. Discipline means it's not our natural strength. It's not our natural strength. We can do that. It costs us. It costs us. It just demands our energy. It demands our thinking. Shift our mind. A lot of time we need to deliberately shift our mind to think about something that the Word of God asks us to think about. Amen? So a lot of time, the Holy Spirit might pump us, say, hey, this time, no. Even though in the midst of the worship, the Lord's presence here, we are not supposed to think about what to eat for lunch, right? We are not supposed to, but are we? Yes. Do we think about something else that we are not supposed to think about? Yes, that's normal. That's no. Don't feel condemned when I say that. That's normal. So being some other people's shoes is a discipline. It's not easy, but it's part of mercy. Okay, let somebody quote this. People will never truly understand something until it happens to them. Ooh. Do you agree? All right. Nice try, Jeremiah. He's trying to wear my shoes, but it's my son. Being somebody else's shoes is not only pleasant. Sometimes we might just try and fail, like kids always like to do that, right? Try the adult's shoes. Okay, another quote, always put yourself in the other's shoes. If it's hurt you, it probably will hurt the person too. That's kind of a reminder for myself as well, that if I say something, for myself, it's a training as well. I just sometimes just pause before I say something. Pause. Do I say these things well? What kind of consequence it will bring, right? But sometimes no time, just say it. Whatever you think about, just say it. But a lot of time, if the time allows, and I want myself to pause, Sometimes pause is good. Pause. It's good. So sometimes the Holy Spirit might ask us in the midst of a conversation, might pause. The things we wanted to say is just, You know, The things we wanted to say, and we didn't say it. And because we knew that if we say it, it could cost some consequence. The consequence we experienced painfully before, I will not do it again. So sometimes it may hurt people before we say it. The more mature Christ brings us to, the more pause sometimes we might experience in our life. Amen? So everybody say, pause. Sometimes it's a good thing. In Chinese, we say, 有些时候等一等是好的。说以前等一等是好的。 Pause sometimes is a good thing. So before we say it, just sometimes when in the midst of our conversation, do we pray? Do somebody, some of you, you pray when you have some conversation with somebody else? Yes? Yes? Good, good. If you don't pray, that's bad. No, that's okay. That's okay. Because we don't always pray, right? We don't always pray while we have conversation. And people don't know we are praying. Especially we are facing some conversation might challenging ourselves. Or we might face some conversation, it might involve some conflicts or something that we don't want to deal with it. So we better pray while we having conversation, right? And then, you know, after we pray, our words become sweeter, our words become stronger, more confident, more powerful, more anointed, more loving, more merciful, more of graceful. And then the word become the healing power for people you are talking with. That's powerful. Inside of us, the Holy Spirit sometimes doing something that we are not aware of. But when we pray, we lean our hands to the everlasting arms. We lean our hands to the everlasting arm, saying, Lord, please help me, because I don't know what I should say. What I know, I don't know, because I say something to this person, or I say something that I hurts people. I don't want to say anymore. I don't want to say that anymore. Sometimes may not be the wording itself. Sometimes could be the attitude that you are showing to people, could hurt people. You may say, no, Pastor Liu, I don't care. I don't care. I just say whatever I wanted to say, right? Because I'm happy. And if they are not happy, that's their business. So I just feel happy. I don't care about what other people's feeling. That's their business. Is that okay? That's probably not. But not too careful. I'm not saying you should be too careful. Too careful, you cannot say a word, right? But just wait upon God. Just wait upon the Holy Spirit. Whatever he prompts you to say it, sometimes he say, pause. Right? Pause. Stephen, pause this word. And you will pause. You know, the miracle about pause, is when you pause, and then once you say something, it's totally different. It's totally different. It's just between me and Kelly. A lot of time, if I want to say something, and we both have our arguments, and we know it's start burning, it start flaming, and start flaming in our conversation, in our marriage, and one pastor prophesying to us that Stephen and Kelly, if their marriage can manage well in their conversation, they are doing fine. And I really don't like this prophecy. You know why? Because I think, we are fine. We are fine. But after we get married, I know what she's talking about. I know what she's talking about, truly talking about. Because a lot of time our words might become the temperature, it's rising. It's rising. Oh, And then we both learn to pause. We both learn. At the beginning, I want her to learn. Because she's quicker than me. She's quicker than me. So I thought, Lord, Holy Spirit, that's fair deal. Because I am a slower person and she's a quicker person. She's the one who needs to pause. Amen? No. You agree? No, I found out, even though I'm a slower, but I have attitude. So I learned to pause myself as well. Whenever we pause and our words become sweeter, and I have a lot of sweeter words for her. Pause, really, I don't know what do I say pause this morning. So, 2 Corinthians, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So, amen? So the troubles that we have, and we have the comfort from our Lord, and we can comfort those who are in troubles. I'm not saying God purposely wants us to be troubled. No, that's not what God is. Who God is. He's a good Father. He has a purpose. So next, please. Okay. Just pause for that before. Thank you. So a lot of time, some people may ask, if God is your God is so loving, why does he still allow so many pains and hurts in the world? Right? We heard this question many times. Why does God allow so many pains and hurts in the world? But sometimes we can rephrase it to this. The hurting people have come to realize, appreciate it deeply, what it means to be hurting and having pains. So we all have some pains in lives. But our pains in lives, a lot of time, make us to be the expert in that area. Amen? So many people have become expert in certain area of their life due to their special experiences. Purposely endorsed or allowed by all-knowing and all-powerful God. In the book of Job, God allowed Job to suffer out of no reason. No reason. But after the long suffering, Job eventually said, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." Amen. What a powerful testimony Job had for us to glorify the Almighty God. God has a special purpose for your life too. No matter what you are going through now, God is always with you. He knows everything you are experiencing. He is loving and faithful. Everybody say, He is loving and faithful. He knows where you are. He knows what you are going through. Even though in the midst of your pain, He is with you. His presence with you. He is with you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to accompany you with every moment of your life. That's who God is, our good, good Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ and His grace is sufficient in our life. And Pastor Jim published a book. And by the way, Pastor Jim is in Italy. He sent back a lot of picture and a video, and he's doing really great. And he enjoyed a lot of Italian food. And tell you, he just enjoys so much. And he's doing great. And Pastor Jim published a book regarding never becoming burning out of yourself. So he emphasized the importance of Sabbath, rest, or vacation to protect ourselves from burning out due to the fact of his special experience before in the ministry that God allows him to experience that. He has been specially anointed to comfort those who have been weary, and Pastor Jim is empowered to help people from becoming burning out. Brother and sister, God desires to use us to comfort others. But sometimes, reality is, life still comes with conflicts, mistakes, different opinions, ups and downs. Sometimes the imperfection seems to dominate our way. Sometimes imperfection still dominate our way. And how do we still face that? And how do we face the imperfection in life and still have hope, peace, and joy? That's our lesson, right? That's what God gave it to us. In the Message Bible, and we just read that. We just read it again. If you work with disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. And here comes to my third point. Refill and revive. And in John chapter 7, 37 through 38, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus said that. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. That's what Holy Spirit does. That's who Jesus is for our life every day. Praise God that He wants to fill us. He wants to refresh our spirit every day. And He wants to empower us. And He wants us to enjoy Him, the fellowship with God all the time. And remember the 10 virgin parables. Five of those virgins fill their lamp with oil. Another five ignore and forget to fill their lamp with oil. The wise five are rewarded, and the foolish five are burning out. And the oil represents the renewing of our relationship with Jesus and also the strength that He provides for us. And the neediness He creates in us, it's a miracle. Now, a lot of time, we may face some situation that He brings neediness in our heart. I was wrong grammar. I was backslide for the Lord for about 1 year, 2 year also, when I was 20-some years old. I grew up in church, but when I grew up, and I really want to be my own, because I always has been educated at church. But one day, I just feel just like the prodigal son, and I just feel like I want to be my own, and I don't need the Lord at that moment. So I was away from church and from brothers and sisters. And I was happy in the beginning. I was so happy because nobody tell me what to do now. And nobody give me some guideline of life. And I seemed so happy because I am the master of myself. I was so happy. But sooner, about a couple of months later, I start feeling bondage because I start doing something, you know, a little bit gambling, you know, just for your information. So, but I don't gamble since. So I start gambling, I start, you know, just don't pray, I don't worship God. And I don't know the grace of Jesus Christ for my life. I just put it aside. And several months later, I start feeling like, you know, something is wrong. Something is wrong. My heart is away from God. And I just don't feel joyful. My life is just astray. You know, just I don't know how to express this feeling. When I was at church, even though I don't always feel uplifting, you know, sometimes I may face some peer pressure things and stuff. And I know now I'm not joyful all the time. But that was the weird feeling when I was away from church. And I start feeling no life in me. And I don't want to share the gospel, of course. I don't want to share the gospel with my neighbors, with my I was in the military at that time, by the way. And I just admit, I just start smoke a little bit, you know, just that's okay, you know, that was okay. Just that's part of life. See, my friends in the military, they smoke, that's okay. But I feel empty, to be honest, I feel empty. When do I start feeling empty? And after the military service I had in Taiwan, my whole family immigrated to Canada. That's why I'm so grateful. God brought my whole family to Canada. And God just put a neediness in my heart. And just deep down in my heart, I feel something I need to refill my life with the life, the person of God. I just feel something is missing. I have missed God for several years. I need to come back to Him. And nobody tell me. So I went back to church. It was a Chinese church. I went back to church. I start having tears in my face. I say, Lord, I don't want to leave you anymore in my life because you love me. You grabbed me back. You found me. And you already saved me. And I was the one who went astray. I was the one who went rebellious against you. Lord, please forgive me. I know that your plan is higher than my plan. You are the master of my life. And I cannot live one day without you. And I cannot live 1 minute without you. So I was able to come back. Praise the Lord. When the time I was away, He was never left me and forsake me. I knew that. He was able to grab me back. He was always with me. So one day, and I was so, I become, you know, the Lord's presence with me, and I don't want to, you know, sometimes I don't want to leave church. I want to talk to a brother and sister at church. I want to receive more. And brother, and one brother came to me. He said, "Stephen, there's something wrong with you." I say, "Nothing wrong." I say, "You used to leave our worship with some songs, but now the songs you are leading, it's totally different songs. You start leading us to worship God. You start telling us to know Jesus. You start asking us to really be joyful, enjoy God's presence. Is anything wrong with you?" I say, yes, there's some changes in me that God has been doing a great thing in me. Amen. So revive, refill and revive. Fill with the oil that the Holy Spirit wants to give it to us in our life all the time. He wants to give it to us all the time. Enjoy His presence all the time. And Philippians, and this is the obstacle, maybe. So today I'm this topic, it's about spiritual warfare. It's also a part of spiritual warfare because the enemy wants to take us down. Amen? The enemy wants us to think about ourselves and think about our own situation and think about our own struggle only. Think about just bow your head all the time instead of just praising God. Rely on what He is going to do for us, for each one of us, the beautiful things. So this is the obstacle the enemy is trying to get hold of us. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So this is the battle we all face. But when we hold hands together, we can fight the battle in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to win because He win for us. Amen. So before I end, let me share with you my own story when I was at school. When I was at school in Washington State, down in the states below us, and I had a roommate, and this roommate gives me a lot of trouble, and I may have given him a lot of trouble as well. So I cannot stand him anymore. And he was a Christian. And I led him to Christ. And we became roommates. And he was a new believer. And I have been a believer, of course, all my life. So I've been a believer longer than this guy. And he's from Hong Kong. And I have another roommate from Vietnam. So another roommate from Malaysia. So we all live together, really happy, but just live, this Hong Kong roommates just turn me, just a lot of things. I just feel I cannot live with this guy. Really, really tough. And I went to my church leader, and I say, "I cannot stand with this guy any longer." And I just feel a lot of his habits really, really make me nuts. Is that a good word? So I need to pause before I say that. So I just feel that this person, really, I cannot get along with this guy. Lord, please help me. A Christian is supposed to be loving, but I really cannot get along with this guy. And then, to my surprise, my church leader say something to me I will never forget in my life. You know what he says? And he says, how long does this guy still, well, he still live with you? Because he is ready to graduate. He's graduated before me. He's ready to graduate in this, that summer. So my church leader asked me, how long does this guy still gonna live with you? And I say, 3 months. And the church leader say, cherish this 3 months. He was not saying sarcastic way. He saying he want me to do my part. He want me to do my part. I knew he want me to do my part to see anything I can minister to this guy. There must be something that I can minister to this guy. So I paused and I thought about, I did have something. So I cooked for him. And I cooked for him. I learned cooking from that time. So, you know what I mean? I learned to cook for the guy I don't like. So my cooking skill become better and better because I cook for him. Isn't that good? So God can change anything we think bad, become so beautiful that we can bless others with something we can never imagine before. That's what God wants us to do. So mercy is a battle. Become more merciful is a battle. It's between us and maybe our fellowship with other people. We don't always have a perfect relationship. There's no perfect relationship in the whole world, including church. Amen? There's no perfect relationship at church and with other people. But there's only one perfect relationship. It's our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, our Savior, He saves us and He cleans us. He empowers us to do things we can never imagine to do. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I have some question for you before I end. Okay? This is a long weekend. We can talk very long. No. Joking. So I should pause before I say that. Pastor Randy will forgive me. So I have some question for you before we head into the happy weekend. Do we have something that we are holding on that we cannot forgive and forget? Do we have something in our heart, in our past, in our mind, something that keep bondage us? That before I came this morning and asked Holy Spirit, what could I ask your people? And the Holy Spirit said, there's some people who may have been hurting, may have pains in their lives. They want to be released this morning. So I so strongly believe that God wants to do some works for us, and in us, and through us, that He's going to do. If you have something, it may be very deep in our heart. I don't want to put any of you in the spot. But this is a serious business that between us and God. It may not relate to any of us other people in the church. But God loves you. He loves you. He has been faithful. He is loving. He's so gracious. He don't want us to hold back. He wants us to move forward. He wants to help us minister to our heart deeply, deep down, that we allow Him, leaning on His everlasting arms. And He's so loving. He wants us to become the merciful brother and sister He intends us to be. Maybe you have encountered something that you have heard from somebody else, maybe from a brother, maybe some from a sister, that he wants you to be released, right? So we are doing a serious business this morning. So shall we just close our eyes before the Lord, saying, Lord, I may have the past, but Lord, you want me to focus on the hope you provide for me. You lead me forward. You are the one who lead me forward. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He wants to touch you. The Holy Spirit is gently and asks you to maybe stretch your hands to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done for me. My strength is not enough. But whenever I'm weak, and I know that you remain strong in me, you remain faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.